The sole salvation emphasis we hear declared from the pulpits is the need to be born again. On the other hand, the Bible declares that it's equally important to remain faithful to God to the point of death as it is to get born again in the first place. For without the latter, the former will be useless in getting one into the kingdom of God. Please ponder that eternal truth for you in Revelation chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Now, here is your host, Brother Dan Corner.
Listen to this, friends. Listen very carefully. All through the New Testament, at least 30 different times, we read of various people, named and unnamed, that wandered away from the truth, they wandered away from the faith, or they lost their saltiness, they destroyed the faith of others, they fell away, they fell from grace, they stopped believing and they fell away, they turned back and followed Jesus no more, they became a shipwreck of the faith, they returned like a dog returning to his vomit, over and over and over again, and not one single time do you ever read in any of these at least 30 passages because that occurred that shows they were never saved to begin with. Not one time does it say that is proof they were never regenerated because they went back. Never. Not one single time. So don't try to use, or should I say misuse, that passage from Matthew 7. Because Matthew 7 is not saying these people had evidence of saving grace. They were continuous tense evildoers. Furthermore, sometimes people try to use, or should I say misuse, 1 John 2:19 for the same purpose. To argue, never saved to begin with. But for some strange reason, they ignore verse 22, which shows the people that went back denied Jesus is the Christ. In other words, they were antichrist. They were doctrinally shown to be unsaved. I'd like you to listen to this quote that John MacArthur made. He is one that especially uses this never really saved to begin with type argument. In his famous book, The Gospel According to Jesus, the 1989 edition, page 216, MacArthur said this, quote, Paul regarding those who fell away, such as Hymenaeus, Alexander, and Philetus, as unbelievers, 1 Timothy 1:20, 2 Timothy 2:16-19, this did not contradict his teaching on the eternal security of salvation, for these men were never saved. Their faith was a sham, unquote. Was that right, John MacArthur? These people were never saved to begin with, and that is because they became a shipwreck of the faith. He's referring to 1 Timothy 1:19 and 20. Let me read that for you. Listen to this passage that MacArthur said shows these people were never saved and their faith was always a sham. It says this, holding on to faith and a good conscience, some have rejected these and so have shipwrecked their faith. Among them were Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, Timothy needed to do something so that the same horrible thing that happened to Hymenaeus and Alexander would not happen to Timothy. Now let me ask you, did Timothy have a saving faith? Absolutely, positively. There's no question whatsoever that Timothy was saved, but Paul knew that the same horrible thing that happened to Hymenaeus and Alexander could happen to Timothy. That shows that Hymenaeus and Alexander were once saved as Timothy was at that moment. And he told Timothy what Timothy needed to do so he likewise wouldn't end up like Hymenaeus and Alexander. That is a shipwreck of faith. Timothy needed to hold on to faith and a good conscience. And if he wouldn't hold on to faith and a good conscience, then he would become a shipwreck of the faith. Now imagine that. Timothy is being told by Paul that he could lose his salvation, and there's something that Timothy needs to do. There's a spiritual safeguard that Timothy needs to do for himself to stay saved. Now, this is all under grace. Paul taught grace. He didn't teach legalism. He didn't teach heresy. He wasn't a cultist. The Apostle Paul taught grace, and he said at another time that you can fall from grace. Paul taught that we're justified by faith, but he also taught that your faith can become shipwrecked in 1 Timothy 1:19 and 20. So listeners, what are you going to believe? Are you going to believe John MacArthur and these other Calvinists and their version of saving faith, which is not a biblical version of saving faith? True saving faith can be destroyed. A true believer can become an unbeliever. True saving faith can be put to death by sin. The devil hates the truth. The truth will set people free. Listen to this. In basic geometry, if you ever had geometry, you were taught the following axiom. If A equals B, then B equals A. That's very basic, fundamental logic. If A equals B, then B equals A. If 2 plus 2 equals 4, then 4 equals 2 plus 2. But would you believe this is not how the Calvinists think? This is not how they reason. On page 196 of the Gospel According to Jesus by John MacArthur, MacArthur wrote the two following quotes. Now listen to this, quote, "Every Christian is a disciple," unquote. And then right after that statement, he went ahead and had a footnote. And in that footnote, this is what he said, quote, "It is apparent that not every disciple was necessarily a true Christian." John 6:66, unquote. Notice that. MacArthur is saying Christians are disciples, but disciples are not Christians. See, this is how irrational these people are, especially the Calvinist. These people are not able to rightly divide the word of truth. They're not able to do this, even though they read the scriptures and they seem like they're teaching a holiness message. Don't believe it, friends. They're not. Why? The scripture was John 6, 6, 6. What does John 6, 6, 6 say? That scripture says this, "As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore." In other words, his disciples, at least many of them, went back and they followed the Lord Jesus never again. Well, this contradicts their understanding of what a Christian is. So obviously, they're going to have to try to say that if A equals B, then B does not equal A. This is unbelievable, but this is what they will do to preserve their false teaching of eternal security. The Bible teaches repeatedly that disciples are Christians. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 49, pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." And then all you have to do is just jump over to Luke chapter 14, and you'll see the same truth taught two other times. Listen to this. In Luke 14:26, Jesus said this, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." He said he cannot be my disciple. In verse 33, Luke 14, Jesus said, "In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." Notice the kind of commitment you have to be a disciple. In other words, disciples are Christians according to the Bible. So John 6:66 is a real problem verse, or should I say a refutation to Calvinism. These people were truly saved at one time, just like Hebrews chapter 6, 4 through 6 refutes Calvinism. But what about Judas Iscariot? He's another example that refutes Calvinism, because Judas Iscariot is clearly identified as a disciple of the Lord Jesus. In Matthew 10, verses 1 through 4, he is shown to be a disciple, the same kind of disciple, as the other 12 that were made apostles were. And bear in mind, just two chapters later, in Matthew 12, Jesus, pointing to his disciples, that would mean Judas included, Jesus said to them, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." So Judas, at this point in time, was doing the will of the Heavenly Father. And he was part of Jesus' spiritual family. But afterwards, he turned. He became a devil and a thief. Jesus called him the son of perdition. But that doesn't mean he was always a son of perdition or that he was always a thief. He changed from disciple to devil, like Solomon changed from a righteous person to an idolater, according to the scriptures. The grace changers, that is the eternal security teachers, want to make true or false conversion the only issue regarding salvation. They totally ignore, that's because of their theology now, they totally ignore the truth that a true Christian can become unsaved. And because they do that, because they deny this truth that is taught all through the Bible, Old and New Testament, people are oblivious to spiritual safeguards for salvation's sake. In part, that's because of the way that grace has been changed into a license for immorality, just like Jude 3 and 4 state. Jude 3 and 4 tells us about people that change grace into a license for immorality. That is not the Jehovah's Witnesses. That is not the Mormons. That is not what the Catholics are doing. That is what the eternal security people are doing. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, and the Catholics have other problems. They are into false doctrine regarding salvation as well. But the eternal security people are changing grace into a license for immorality. They want us to think, as Christians, that if we would stray into adultery, drunkenness, murder, suicide, any kind of sin, it makes no difference what it is. You can become a serial rapist, and you're still saved. Well, John MacArthur went on record to say that all things work together for good, and that includes even the worst thing of all, sin. So John MacArthur actually has taught that a Christian's sin is working for good. Ponder that. Ponder that kind of statement. If you believe, as a Christian, if you would strain to sin that's actually going to work good, how is that going to be an impediment to sinning? How is that going to be conducive to true holy living? Some people have been so deceived they actually think that John MacArthur is teaching holiness. Friends, John MacArthur cannot teach true biblical holiness because John MacArthur believes in the teaching of eternal security. His theology won't allow it. His version of saving faith is not the saving faith of the Bible. These people are right, at least MacArthur is right, regarding the necessity of repenting for initial salvation. In other words, you will never get born again unless you do repent. Some of these eternal security people think that you don't even have to repent. While MacArthur is right about that, and some of the others are right, that you have to repent to become born again. But afterwards, according to what John MacArthur has stated numerous times in other sources, MacArthur would say that David remained saved. He didn't have to repent when he was in adultery and murder to remain saved. He remained saved when he was unrepentant. While it's true he did repent, he remained saved even before he ever did repent. So Judas was a disciple. Judas was therefore a Christian according to Matthew chapter 12, 49 and 50. According to Luke 14, 26 and Luke 14, 33, Judas had an amazing commitment to God at one time and something happened to him. That reflects the intensity of the spiritual warfare. Now you think about that. These people want us to deny the obvious. The truth is, Solomon fell away. Solomon became an unsaved person. He never repented. He never came back to God. The same happened to Judas. Both Solomon and Judas once were saved. Some Calvinists falsely accuse me of using the straw man fallacy. So no one will think that they are telling the truth about this. Listen carefully to the following teaching from Calvinist R.C. Sproul from Ligonier Ministries. The cussing from the pulpit that he has used has been removed. Listen very carefully as this Calvinist explains his own theology about a person who turns away from the Christian faith.
Now, one of the biggest arguments that's used against perseverance, and I hear it all the time from students that say, well, I know this person who made a confession of faith, who was actively involved in the work of evangelism, even led other people to Christ and all this sort of business, and now that person is a rank atheist, you see, who has totally abandoned the Christian faith. All of us, if we've had any experience in the Christian faith, know of people like that. And so we automatically assume, on the basis of our experience, on the basis of our vision, where we are watching the outward appearances, not having the ability to penetrate in the heart, that we know people who in fact were Christians, but now are not. Now, there's two things that can be said about that. First of all, we don't know the final outcome of that person's life. They could be in a traitorous state of fall. They could be at the same place Peter was when he said of Jesus, I never knew the man, you see. He didn't just deny him, but he denied him with cursings and blasphemous utterances. And not only was he doing it under the pressure of such a denial in front of kings and magistrates, but he had the audacity to deny Jesus because of his great fear to a servant woman. That's how intimidated Peter was. But in any case, maybe that's the state that maybe these people who right now are denouncing Christ are in fact still in a state of grace, but are in the midst of a radical and serious fall and have simply not yet been brought back to their senses, but inevitably will be. The other possibility is, of course, that their initial profession of faith, their initial confession was not genuine in the first place.
The person that Calvinist R.C. Sproul described turned from Christianity and became a, quote, rank atheist, unquote. He said that such people, quote, could be in a traitorous state of fall. They could be at the same place Peter was when he said of Jesus, I never knew the man, you see. He didn't just deny him, but he denied him with cursings and blasphemous utterances, unquote. Or, according to Calvinism, the second possibility is that he was never saved to begin with. That is, he had a false conversion. Did you notice how Calvinism allows for a saved person to backslide to the place where he can be an atheist denouncing Christ, but still in a state of grace, while in the midst of a, quote, radical and serious fall, unquote? Here is a different Calvinist, this time from the White Horse Inn Ministry, with Michael Horton, who quotes Martin Lloyd-Jones, who is also a Calvinist, and he said something that again shows how they have distorted the very gospel itself. Listen to this.
When you go to Romans chapter 5, Martin Lloyd-Jones has that comment there at the end of chapter 5 of Romans, where Paul says, so then where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Then he turns into the first chapter of Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we go on in sin that grace may abound? Lloyd-Jones says, if people don't accuse you, as Paul anticipated them accusing him there, of preaching license because of the clarity of proclaiming the gospel, you haven't proclaimed the gospel clearly enough yet.
Clearly, Calvinism is a counterfeit grace and license for immorality, just like the message that other eternal security teachers declare that are not Calvinists, like Bob George and Charles Stanley. The so-called holiness message that is presented by all Calvinists, including John MacArthur, is nothing but a facade. And that is because at times they allow for a Christian to backslide like King David, King Solomon, or the Apostle Peter and remain saved while in an unrepentant state of adultery, murder, idolatry, or disowning the Lord Jesus. Such is not the message of salvation that is found in the Bible and must be fought against. We'll be right back.
John MacArthur is a well-known and respected Calvinist. Although at times MacArthur gives the illusion of teaching holy living, he also proclaims that a Christian's sin works for his good. His concept is that a true Christian can commit occasional acts of adultery, drunkenness, and even murder himself, yet remain saved, and that no sin, regardless how heinous, will ever prevent a person previously saved from entering heaven. These are dangerous religious fairy tales. Please don't be deceived. Order today for only $8 postage paid our 52-page booklet entitled Unmasking John MacArthur's Calvinistic Version of Saving Faith. Phone toll free 1-877-HATE-SIN. That's 1-877-428-3746. Phone right now, and God bless you.
I have no doubt there are a number of people out there listening to me at this very moment that think most definitely it's a guarantee that I will enter heaven, but because of the eternal security teachers, they're oblivious to the spiritual safeguards, the responsibilities they have to stay saved. There are things you need to do for yourself to stay saved, all under grace. It's not legalism. It's not heresy. This isn't cultic. This is what Paul taught. Paul taught grace. Paul taught Timothy that Timothy needed to hold on to faith and a good conscience. That's what you need to do. And Paul watched his conscience every single day. If things aren't right, they need to be made right. I want you to know something else about this kind of argument they were never saved to begin with. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 12, Jesus said this about the five foolish virgins. He gave a teaching. He said there were 10 virgins. Notice, they were all virgins. They all had a lamp burning for God. Yet in the course of time, 5 or 50%, their lamp stopped burning for God. Their lamp did not endure. Their lamp did not continue. And because their lamp went out, they were not ready. And when Jesus returned, he said, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. That's Matthew 25, verse 12. He said, I don't know you. He never said, I never knew you, like in Matthew 7, 23. Jesus said to them, I don't know you, meaning that he did know them at one time, but all of a sudden now, he no longer knew them. What made them unknown by the Lord at that particular point in time? Their lamp stopped burning. The one thing that they had at one point in time, they no longer had, and that is what made them identifiable as, I don't know you. They lost their salvation. Jesus gave a salvation teaching in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 12. Most people think Jesus' only salvation message is in John chapter 3 when he talked to Nicodemus about getting born again. No, absolutely, positively not. Jesus taught about salvation repeatedly in the parables and elsewhere. Now, I know people will say you never use parables for doctrine. The eternal security teachers. They're the ones that want us to think you never use parables for doctrine. Why? Why not? The Bible says that you're to use Scripture for your doctrine, for your teaching, for correction. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. If you use that Scripture and realize that these parables are Scripture, and therefore we can use them for doctrine, again, we have a mound of evidence refuting eternal security. You don't need one parable to refute eternal security. The eternal security teachers don't like to tell us about Matthew 25, verse 12, and it is apparent why they don't want to tell us about this. They are hoping you don't raise this issue, especially in the congregation. That might cause them to preach a whole sermon on eternal security and trying to force you to get out because you're causing trouble, because you've now become an apostate. Prove that you were never saved to begin with, or you've gotten into some kind of doctrinal error. Time and time and time again, we see in the Bible one truth after another that shows the teaching of eternal security is a lie. I don't care how many popular teachers are declaring this. It's a lie. It's not true. Jesus declared there would be rampant religious deception at the end of this age. Paul said the time would come when people would seek out teachers, plural teachers, to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to doctrinal mythology. And that is exactly what has happened. That is the day in which we're living, and that passage is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. That time is now. It's present tense. People are turning aside to teachers to hear what their itching, sinful ears want to hear. Don't be afraid to tell the truth, even if you are a pastor. Tell them, I reject the teaching of eternal security. It is what Jude said. It's a counterfeit grace message. People have changed grace into a license for immorality. And based on 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2, I believe in a conditional security for the believer as part of the gospel itself. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2 says, by this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. So Paul's gospel of grace declares that you can believe in vain. A true Christian can believe in vain. So people that would say if a person turns from God after a convincing testimony, even of many years, that proves that person was never saved to begin with, not according to the Bible. Certainly, some people never get saved that are religious. But I'm not talking about them. I'm not talking about those that never get saved. I'm talking about the people that do get saved. People that truly do find salvation. They have evidence of saving grace, like Hymenaeus and Alexander. And afterwards, they shipwreck their faith. It has happened, and it is happening at this very moment. In fact, it's probably happening more now than it did at one time because so many people have accepted the teaching of eternal security, and therefore their guard is down. They don't think they need to have their guard up because God is holding them. God is keeping them. God loves them. They are sealed by the Holy Spirit. God will discipline them so they won't be condemned with the world. All these arguments, these eternal security people have distorted every single one of them to perpetuate the teaching of eternal security. John 10:28 is perhaps their number one top proof text. But for some reason, the people that use this are oblivious to John 10:27. In John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never perish. No man can snatch them out of my hand. Notice the ones that never perish, that can never get snatched out of Jesus' hand. These are the ones that continuously follow Jesus. That's the Greek tense. It's a continuous tense. Jesus said, only of those that continue to follow him, they'll never get snatched out of his hand. Nowhere did Jesus ever say, nor did any of his apostles ever teach at any time, that if you would go astray, that if you would turn aside, that if you would backslide as David did, that you would never get snatched out of his hand. And yet that is how the eternal security teachers misuse John chapter 10, verse 28. You see, they teach a license for immorality. But you'll never get these people to admit that eternal security is a license for immorality. Never. Even though Bob George has gone on record as to say that fornication is permissible, it's just not profitable. You'll never get these people to admit that eternal security is a license for immorality. Stanley has said other similar things, even to the point that you could live like the devil. You won't lose your salvation, but you'll lose your rewards. This is how these people think. Some of these people actually think that your future sins are already forgiven even before you commit them. If that was true, if your future sins are already forgiven before you even commit them, the devil's wasting his time in tempting anyone. Why would the devil tempt anybody? Why? They're already forgiven. If God can only see you clothed in the righteousness of Christ through the blood of Jesus Christ, why would the devil waste his time tempting anyone? The Bible gives us many scriptures showing that a Christian's future sins are not automatically forgiven. Jesus clearly said you're going to have to forgive those that sin against you, or your sins will not be forgiven. In Matthew 6, 14 and 15. And that was spoken to people that had the Heavenly Father as their spiritual father. In other words, the disciples, Christians. So this whole teaching of eternal security is filled with holes, like Swiss cheese. It's not biblical. Even though scriptures are sometimes cited, but taken out of context for proof. But on the other hand, oftentimes, it's just a story that's used to teach eternal security. We all heard this one. Once you become your father's child, you can never become unborn. Christians like myself don't ever say that you can become unborn. The Bible does say that you can die spiritually. Paul said in Romans 8:13 that if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Paul taught real Christians could die spiritually if they lived according to the sinful nature. So their future sins were not automatically forgiven. And it's too bad that Romans 8:13 has been left out of the Romans Road gospel presentation. Folks, we're living in a dark hour. A very, very dark hour. People want us to think that A equals B, but B does not equal A. People want us to think that disciples are Christians, but Judas was a disciple, but Judas wasn't a Christian. That the ones in John 6:66, well, they were really never saved to begin with, and it's apparent because they turned away and they followed Jesus no more. This is all nonsense. This is all illogical and irrational. This is not the teaching of Jesus, and it's not the teaching of the apostles. Jesus said it is possible to believe for a while and in time of testing to fall away in Luke chapter 8, verse 13.
Can you imagine what it would be like to die and to go to hell? Try to imagine the regret and deep anguish for those who wake up in this horrible place prepared for the devil and his angels. As bad as that will be, even a greater surprise is awaiting the ones who believed in the security in sin gospel, commonly called eternal security. They died in a lost condition. They thought even for years that they would most assuredly go to heaven after their death, because they were once saved. But instead, they go to hell. This is how it will be for multitudes. Will you help us reach these and others before it's eternally too late? Please visit our website at www.evangelicaloutreach.org, or you can call us toll free at 1-877-HATE-SIN and order our 800-page book, Refuting the Teaching of Eternal Security. Phone 1-877-HATE-SIN. Phone right now, and God bless you.